podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I like that our choir has left us this morning with a hypothetical question. Who could be more faithful? Who could be more true than our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God? The answer, of course, is no one. No one. This is a time of year where we do a lot of reflection. I don't know about you, but I usually wake up the beginning of a new year and I start asking myself questions again like, who am I? What am I here for? You know, what really matters? You know, what is going to be different about 2011 than 2010? How am I going to grow as an individual, as a person? You know, how am I going to get closer to my God? How am I going to be more and more like Jesus Christ? What has got to change? What things need to be different in my life? I hope that you've been asking some of those questions. I think the change of a calendar year, yeah, it's just another day, but it is an opportunity to reflect and an opportunity to look forward. And so we take this one Sunday out of the year to do what I call the State of the Church sermon. Not like the State of the Union address, which usually comes in February or so, and it usually has some partisan applause in it and all sorts of gavel pounding and those sorts of things. And it's not like that. It's more of a reflection on what has been and then maybe a look forward to what the Lord might do in days to come. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Father, for this church. And Lord, for the people that you have placed here in the care of this church, you have shepherded this group of people together to do your work, to do your will, right here in the center of Stokes County. And Father, I thank you for this people that we call Quaker Gap Baptist Church. And I pray, Father, that you will give us direction for this coming new year. Lord, help us to recognize who we are. Help us to see, Lord, the gifts, the talents, the particular niche that you've given to us, and help us, Lord, to do your will and to follow you more closely. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A reminder of what our measuring block is as a church, and that is our purpose as a church. It's found at the top of your bulletin each Sunday, right under the name of the church, is that purpose statement, glorifying God by growing Christ-like people. That is the aim. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to grow Christ-like people in order to glorify God. And hopefully everything that we do has a part in that process. And hopefully we're accomplishing that we are seeing people become more and more like Jesus Christ. And I pray that that's true of you, that because of your involvement here at Quaker Gap, because you come to worship here, because you have been a part of small groups or Sunday school classes or you've been serving with mission teams here, whatever it is, I pray that the truth about you is that you are more like Jesus Christ today than you have ever been because you've been a part of this fellowship and that's our purpose. Well, let's look at this year in review. Last year, about this time, we had the theme, Revive Us Again, in 2010. And we talked about what would it look like for us to have revival as a church and as individuals, as people. And the question we might be asking right now is, where have we seen revival? And how have we become more like Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you about some things that I've seen in the past year. Maybe you've noticed them too. First of all, I've seen this huge progression that's been taking place in the youngest of our Quaker Gap folk, our little ones. It's been pretty incredible. Through Century Kid Camp and our Vacation Bible School that was run by our youth group, and through our Children's Church Ministry, which is meeting down the hall right now, meets every Sunday, through our Seeds of Hope Day Camp, we've seen a number of children this year come to a saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've come to know Him as their Savior. And we're going to be seeing the fruit of this in weeks to come as we take the opportunity to celebrate the baptism of some of these little ones. But we recognize how significant this really is because so many of us came to know the Lord when we were children. In fact, I would venture to say the majority of us have. And let's see by just a showing of hands. If you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before the age of 14, would you raise your hand? All who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ before the age of 14. All right. You see so many hands that are raised. And that bears out the statistics. Let me show you what the statistics look like. When do people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Well, according to statistics that have been taken, at least in this country, recently, ages 4 to 14 consists of, that's 85% of the people who are coming to know the Lord as Savior. In fact, you'd say that 86% of people who know the Lord Jesus Christ today in the United States of America came to know Him before the age of 15, the age of 0 to 14, somewhere in that time span. That's a lot of folks. That's a lot of people who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's that age group that's so important. I praise God that the Lord has blessed us with a very precious gift in this church. That gift is our children. And it's important that we continue to invest time and energy and passion and our resources into making sure that these little ones know who Jesus Christ is from the very beginning, that they have every opportunity to establish a foundation of biblical knowledge that starts now when they're young, that they will build on for the rest of their lives. How important it is for us to teach them about Jesus now, while they're so receptive. And all of us need to be on the same team in this. You know, parents, Sunday school teachers, children's ministry team, the children's church leaders, our nursery workers, all of us, grandparents, all of us who have an influence on children in one way or another. I believe that this year we've seen revival in our children. This year, like no other year before, I've had children coming up to me saying, "Pastor Jack, I want to be baptized." And now some of them, I thought, when they came up to me, I thought, they're kind of young, you know? I'm not used to baptizing children that are that young. But then they'd come back 2 weeks later, "Pastor Jack, I really want to be baptized." And then a month later, "Pastor Jack, did you hear me? I want to be baptized." Then their parents start calling me, you know? And then some of the Sunday school teachers and the children's church leaders say, "Hey, did you know that this child wants to be baptized?" Finally, you know, I can't ignore it. There are some children in our church who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. A change has been made in their lives. They love Him. They know Him. They're growing in Him. They understand what baptism is, and they want to be baptized, and I need to listen. So, I praise God for that. I believe it's a revival in our children. And sometimes we know that our children are the ones that lead the way. We learn a whole lot from them. Jesus Himself certainly emphasized the importance of ministering to children. And our children have a lot to teach us about the simplicity of faith, just turning your life over to Jesus and trusting in Him. Now, if you have one of those children is yours, that you know is ready to be baptized, has been bugging you about baptism, has been bugging me about baptism, has been bugging you to bug me about baptism, I want to give them the opportunity next Sunday during the Sunday school hour in my office. I would like to meet with these children. And so if you are a parent of one of those children and you believe that your child is ready to be baptized, I want to have that opportunity to teach them in that class. So this next Sunday. Now, if they can't be there, we'll make arrangements for something else. But I'd like to sit with them, to talk with them about baptism. And for some of you, I may just call you and let you know that, yeah, your kid's one of those. But you should know if your kid's one of those. I praise God for what He's doing in the youngest of our Quaker Gap people. But then also, I think about our youth. We could talk about the increasing numbers of youth that have been showing up. We could talk about the fact that our youth group has become one of the places to be here in Stokes County for our young people. We could talk about the completion of the increased space for our youth ministry that we took on over at the Annex this year and has been completed. But I'd like to point out to you what impresses me the most, beyond just numbers and increase in space and all of that. Teens get a bad rap these days for being self-centered and lazy. That's all they want to do all day is just sit around and play video games, our young people, right? Our youth put those stereotypes to rest this year, especially this summer. They set aside part of their summer vacation to do a mission trip. You know, but instead of going to some exotic location or someplace different, they said, you know what, we're just going to stay right here at Quaker Gap. Right here at Quaker Gap, and we're going to do some mission work right here. And so they ran our vacation Bible school. They did some roofing, some painting, some cleaning, some encouraging. And all of this with positive attitudes. That's what I kept hearing from the people whose lives were blessed through the ministry that took place right here, was from the people in our area that were touched by these young people. What I heard was they all had such great smiles on their faces, such great attitudes. It was hot out. They were on the roof. They were looked like they were going to pass out. But they were having fun, and they embraced it, and they loved it, and they recognized that they were doing it for the Lord. And I praise God, because that is what becoming more like Jesus Christ is about. Now, if our goal as a church was to get as many young people as we possibly could here and just fill the place up with teenagers, there's a lot of wild ways that we could do that. But that's not our goal. Our goal is to grow Christ-like people, grow Christ-like teenagers. And I've seen some revival in that area this past year. Those who chaperone our youth and spend time with them in their Bible studies and other meetings always walk away impressed by those young people and their devotion to the Lord and their devotion to each other. I've heard some wonderful things. And again, many times it's the young people who set the example for the rest of us. We need to watch them, to learn from them, to see the example of their faith and their willingness to step out in faith. And I've been inspired by some of our youth this year and the example that they have set for us and the way that they've become involved in the life of our church. Some of them leading us in worship, some of them working alongside us during our mission blitz. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ growing in them. Another area where I've seen revival is in missions. Most of our Christ-likeness and the evidence of revival is not measured by what takes place here within this building. Most of what our Christ-likeness and the measurement of revival, where we see that is outside of these walls. Whether it be in Cuba or El Salvador and the teams that we sent there, whether it was in the building of handicap ramps or the splitting and cutting and delivery of firewood or yard work that was done or visits to nursing homes or meals that were made for the bereaved and for those who were healing from surgery or people who just called the church and said, you know, I need to tell you about something that one of your members did for me that was very, very nice, or little cards we get in the mail and things like that. This is where we measure Christ-likeness. Whether it's helping to pay the bills of someone who found themselves in difficult times, and nobody even knows that that took place, but through your giving, we were able to do it. Whether it was reaching out through Seeds of Hope ministry to help run a day camp for foster children and other at-risk children. Anytime you put your faith and your love into action, it's an expression of Christ-likeness as a people. And I praise the Lord for what I witnessed this year, because there was a lot that was done. And sometimes it seemed like too much. Got to be honest with you. Sometimes it seemed like we got over-involved. Sometimes we decided to build a ramp that turned into a boardwalk, you know? So, yeah, it didn't look like it was supposed to be that big until we started in the heat of the summer with not enough workers some days. But it was completed and it was done well. It was done according to code and it's being used. And the people for whom it has been done are thankful. And they're not praising Quaker Gap Baptist Church, they're praising God for what's been done. And that is what it's all about. So I praise God for what I witnessed this year as I saw more and more folks getting involved in this types of hands-on ministry and outreach. And I saw new people coming to church due to the willingness of our people to share their faith openly in that way. And this is what Christ-likeness is all about. And 2010 was a good year for missions at Quaker Gap, and I am excited to see more doors opening for ministry yet to come. Another area of revival is with our deacons. Last year around this time, I announced that we would be taking some time to focus on our church leadership and maybe tweaking our deacon ministry, doing things a little bit differently. And I've had an opportunity to meet with some of our deacons one-on-one, face-to-face, and talk about the gifts and the talents, the abilities that God has given them. What we wanted to talk about was, how has God designed you as an individual? And how is it that you should be serving God as a deacon here at Quaker Gap? I've talked to a number of deacons about that, and throughout the year, our desire was for the deacons to serve God in the church according to who He has created them to be. So rather than telling them, here's what a deacon is, we wanted to say, you are a deacon, find how God has gifted you and serve Him in that way. Now, this is a work in progress, to be honest with you, but I've seen a number of deacons flourish in this already, in their service to the Lord. And the ability to recognize that what they are doing for God here through this church is deacon ministry. And some of them have embraced that in a big way. Now, this has required an adjustment in our thinking as individuals here in the church. One of the biggest adjustments is that an individual church member no longer has their deacon. I still hear this language from time to time, so let me once again correct this. Don't ask the question, who is my deacon? Because that is a way of the past. The question should not be, who is my deacon? But who are my deacons? We have a list of deacons for you to choose from. According to whatever need you may find yourself in, you are free to call any one of those deacons and ask them to serve you. You're free to call the church office and say, I have a need and I'd love to speak with a deacon about it. And we'll assign you a deacon based on who we think would be the most comfortable fit for you and based on who we think has the giftedness in the area of your need to serve you. We want you to have deacons, not just a deacon. So it requires a bit of adjustment for us as a church to realize that that's the case. All of the deacons are your deacons. So if you have a need, you make the choice, or you call us and we'll help you make that choice. The word deacon means servant. We went over that already this year. And believe it or not, through the surveys that we took earlier in the year and then after those sermons were done later in the year, as we took those two surveys, your understanding of what a deacon is actually increased from my perspective. And you know that a deacon is a servant. Let them serve you. That's what they're there for. And God has blessed us with some very dependable, gifted, faithful, and godly deacons in this church. And I believe that we've had a revival of deacon ministry, and the best is yet to come on that front as we continue to pursue this. And there's much more that I could talk about when it comes to last year. We've had some very strong foundational members this year who've been promoted to be with the Lord. They're with Him now. Yet the Lord, you know, always has a way of adding to our number some great folks who are serving Him, who are new, who have stepped up into ministry. And we were able this year to send along another staff member to become a senior pastor. Now, that makes three since I've been here, three staff members that have been sent on to other churches to become senior pastors. And Quaker Gap has become something of a training ground for preachers. Don't get any ideas on that one, Daniel. That's not why we called you. But Darshan has done a tremendous job of recognizing and recruiting talent for our music ministry. And if you are hiding out there, you think you're hiding, you've got this musical talent and you're just sitting out there, you know, expect to hear from Darshan sometime or another. Because she's got ears all over the church. And they hear and they report to her. I was sitting in front of so-and-so, and you should have heard her voice. She sings like a bird. Darshan will be calling you very soon to participate in our music ministry. And I praise God for her and what she has done. Our small groups have continued to roll on. And I hear from members how these groups are helping them to grow, how important these groups have been to them, how they've come to know people in our church in a very deep way that they didn't know them before because they've been a part of these types of groups. Our Sunday school ministry is growing. Wednesday evening meals have gotten cramped at times. Some of you have been to some of those Wednesday nights where you thought you were going to go insane because it was so loud and crowded in there. The Bible studies required more and more chairs on Wednesday nights. 2010 was a year of revival in many ways here at Quaker Gap. But you're the only one who can say that for sure in your life. You know, has your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ grown in the past year? Have you experienced revival in your life, in your heart? Are you more like Jesus Christ than you were a year ago? Only you can answer that question. Let's turn to 2011. There are some emphases I'd just like to throw before you. I do this not because I'm a prophet, but because, you know, I have a little bit of vision about what the future may hold. The truth of the matter is, as 2011 starts to unfold, God's going to throw some stuff in front of us, and it's going to change the plans completely, and we're going to follow Him wherever He leads. But let me give you some areas that we're looking at. One is the deacons and beyond. See, what we've done with our deacons, we would like to continue with our deacons, but we would also like to spread that out, spread the wealth. Are you being utilized properly as a servant here in the church? Yeah, I'm not saying that you have to be a deacon. What I am saying is that God wants you to be ministering here at Quaker Gap in one way or another. He wants to use you, whether it's here within these church walls or whether it's outside helping with mission teams or being a small group leader or somehow serving God. What is it that God would have you to do? I'd like folks to have the same opportunity that our deacons have had to go through a similar process, figuring out what their gifts are, how God has designed them, what their personality is, and where God might use them to serve through this church. So deacons and beyond. But also, I think another area that we're going to be focusing on is missions, because things were so busy and there were so many creative ways of serving God that came up last year, and that we had to come up with some new ideas, that we become focused for this time on finishing the job that was assigned to us in Cuba. We're going to be focused this year on continuing our relationship with the people of El Salvador that God has called us to partner with. Our youth continue to make progress in their mission plans as they're taking a step of faith this year. Some of them will be going to Puerto Rico. Some of them will be headed to MFuge in Kentucky. And they are committing once again to run our Vacation Bible School here once again this summer. And we hope to once again, as a church, to be involved in the Stokes County Mission Blitz, which was a great opportunity last year for us to get together with other churches and do God's will here in this county. And the mission team has many other opportunities to bring before us this year. Some that they know of, some that they don't know about yet. If you have an idea for missions and how this church should be serving people, how this church should be reaching people for Jesus and giving them the gospel, how we can promote the kingdom of God in Stokes County in a better way or across this world, if you have an idea, please let the mission team know about that. You can talk to me, you can talk to Clint, you can come Wednesday night at 8 o'clock for our missions team meeting. We'd love to hear from you. This year it begins this Saturday with the wood cutting for anyone who wants to be involved. At 8 o'clock we meet here at the church. Now what about our children's ministry? We talked about how important that is. What about our youth ministry as it continues to grow, our Sunday school ministry, our small groups? We're just going to continue to try and be faithful in those areas where God has called us to work and to continue and to experience that the growth as we put more and more time and effort and energy and passion into those ministries. Worship is an area that should be close to each and every one of our hearts. Pray as we make a decision this year concerning the staffing of our music ministry. That should come in weeks to come. Hopefully it won't take that long. But also pray for those whom God has already tapped on the shoulder concerning involvement in our music ministry, that we will develop a consistent plan here at Quaker Gap that leads us before the throne of God each Sunday, utilizing the gifted people that God has put in place here in our midst. Another area is space. Not outer space, but space for worshiping and for meeting. See, we're running out of it in some places. Beginning with the deacons and branching out to the rest of the congregation, we need to have a discussion that hopefully will lead to action concerning what to do about some of our Sunday school classes that are cramped. They don't have enough room. Our fellowship hall, which is too small for our needs, and our need for more recreational space for our children and for our youth, and for those ministries that take place. We need to talk about that, have discussion. Beginning with our deacons, spreading out to the rest of the church, we need to have discussion that will hopefully lead to action. The Lord has given us funds that have been faithfully given over a number of years toward a new building here at Quaker Gap. And it's been sitting there growing, not real fast, as any of those of you who know who have money in the bank, it's not growing real fast. But it's been sitting there and it needs to be used faithfully by these people to do what it's there for. So we'll be talking about how we can do that. Now, spiritually speaking, each year I try to come up with a memorable theme that we can emphasize as the year develops. Last year it was Revive Us Again in 2010. In the past year, we've seen, in past years, we've seen Update in 2008, As It Is in Heaven in 2007. And they tend to rhyme, which makes them easy to remember. But this year, the emphasis is not going to rhyme. And I'm sorry about that. But I told some people who were trying to guess what the emphasis for 2011 was going to be that it will not rhyme, but it'll blow your mind. So let me explain. I was recently doing some study in preparation for sermons this year, and I came across Matthew chapter 16. I want us to turn there. Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. That's in your pew Bible, page 694. Matthew 16, 21 to 28. I want you to follow along as I read. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In particular, look at verse 24 along with me. Something that struck me about this verse. Jesus says there, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And this is coming on the heels of the fact that he just told them that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem, he's going to die there, give his life. And now he says to them, I want you, if you're going to come with me, here's what you need to do. You need to deny yourself, because there's no taking yourself along on this journey of death. You need to take up your cross, as I'm going to be taking up my cross, and you need to follow me. And this is going to be a walk of sacrifice, a walk of giving yourself over. I want you to follow me as I do what God has called me to do. This was the command of Jesus to his disciples. The word follow is what stood out to me on that page. And when you look at the word follow, what do you see there in the middle of that word? Do you see it? I mean, it doesn't rhyme, but it'll blow your mind. Do you see that right in the middle of the word follow? Look close. Do you see the number 11 there? It kind of jumped out to me. And so we came up with this emphasis for the year. Follow in 2011. Every time you see the word follow this year, I hope you see that 11 there and you don't miss it. And every year you write on your check or on your school paper, wherever, you write 2011. I know that you have to concentrate on doing that here in the beginning of the year, right? 2011, as you write that 11, I hope the word follow reverberates in your mind. What is this follow in 2011 all about? Well, What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to really be a follower of His? What is the cost of following Him? What do followers of Jesus look like? What do they act like? What does it mean in 2011 to follow Jesus? Is it any different from what it meant back when He said it to His original followers? What will it take for me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a fully devoted follower of His? What does that look like? What does it mean? What does it mean for me? And so I submit that emphasis to you this year. Follow in 2011. We're going to look at what it means to follow Him. We'll look at some of those passages where He calls people to follow Him and see what it means. We're going to begin next week with a new series entitled Jesus Values. And what that series is about is, what are the things that Jesus truly values, and how are they different from what we value as people? You know, we as a culture have come up with a list of things that are valuable to us. But what is it that Jesus values according to the Word of God? We're going to look at those things. And if we are to follow Him more closely, we certainly need to share the values of Jesus Christ. But for now, I call you into being a follower of Jesus Christ. To deny yourself, to take up your cross, to turn your life over to Him, and to be willing to sacrifice yourself for Him, to be His follower. Not to follow after your own agenda, not to do what you think you're called to do with your life right now, but to maybe set that aside and say, God, what is it that You want me to do? What is Your emphasis for me? What does it mean for me to follow You? Give Him the reins and learn what it means to follow Jesus in 2011. And not just learn to follow Him, but to truly follow Him more closely. Let's pray and commit ourselves to this task. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who is leading. Lord, that You have an agenda in this world. Father, that You are moving in our very midst. And Lord, that there is an end game to what You are doing, that You are leading Your kingdom to a culmination. And Father, that You have called us as Your people to follow You in what You're doing. But Father, we confess and we admit to You that sometimes we get so caught up into following the trends of this world, into following the values of this world, into following the dreams and the desires of our own hearts, that we forget that we're supposed to be following You. So I pray, Father, that in this coming year, that You'd help us, Lord, to make a commitment now, that our hearts will be open, our minds will be open to hear and to understand what it means to follow You. May we, as we have the opportunity this year to look into Your Word, to recognize where You are leading, Lord, that we might be committed to follow. Teach us what it means, and then set our feet on the road to following You more closely. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.